Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast. Season 3, Episode 4. I'm sorry about not getting an episode out last week. I started a new job, and I just didn't have time to record any episodes. Nor did I manage to edit and post the YouTube video. The show isn't sponsored or paid for, so really it's just best endeavors on my part. However, I should be able to keep the weekly schedule, although I don't know if I'll always manage to get it out on a Tuesday. It seems I need to work on an episode about dealing with sudden, drastic changes to your schedule. I've had to cut my ambitions back drastically with regards to the amount of things I'm going to be studying in the next few weeks. I've decided I'll carry on with the memorization task because they are straightforward, and I'll keep the literature reading. This is because I can do this on my commute, and hopefully it won't have a lot of impact. The textbook study will become more difficult, but I plan to keep at least one science topic active. However, most of the topics will have to wait, and I'll try and pick them up later. The good news is that I can still apply the learning and self-teaching techniques to a smaller scale of topics that I'll be studying. This means that I can show you how I'm doing and what I'm doing with the method and the ones that I'm using. This week I want to look at how to develop quizzes to give yourself each study period, but also using these quizzes to generate a test or exam for yourself at the end of each book. And this is very straightforward. Now I personally use a couple of methods for generating these questions, so let me describe the one which I use for textbooks first. Typically, I'm going to be using a textbook in sections, normally chapters. So I create a folder for the textbook on my computer and start with a text file called chapter1questions.txt and chapter1answers.txt. As I read through the chapter and review, I build up questions and answers. So I open the two files on my computer and then type in the question into the question file and the answer into the other. This allows me later to concatenate all of the chapter question files into one long examination, and I can combine all of the answers into one answer key. You might want to just have one file to keep all the questions in and one other file for all the answers, but I like breaking them into smaller sections for quizzes and combining them later to generate a long exam, and this works better for me. When I complete the chapter 1 question and answer files, I'll leave it, and then the next time when I start to study, I just open the question files for the last section I was working on, in this example chapter 1. I save that file under a different name as chapter1quiz.txt, for example, and I type my answers into that file. And I can then compare this with the answer file that I made earlier and review the things that I got wrong. When I create the questions, I'm typically using the information that I've highlighted in the textbook. So for example, if I highlighted a header of a section which read areas of misuse in a biological environment, then I can simply change the header into a question, name the 10 areas of misuse in a biological environment. You can make up your own questions easily from the material that you've studied, but when you make them, there are some things to remember. Don't make the answers yes or no. This is too easy and it doesn't force you to recall the information. Don't use multiple choice for the same reason. Open-ended questions are always best. You can use fill-in-the-blank questions. They are useful, but they should be limited. To encourage better questions, think about and focus on some of the tougher or more important concepts that you encountered in the lesson, and then propose questions that start with the word explain, or that use the word how or why to do the framing. So take a page out of project-based learning and ask driving questions such as, why do leaves have different shapes? Open-ended or essay format questions are excellent for measuring a higher level of cognitive learning and the overall comprehension of a subject. And when writing good open-ended questions, keep some of the following tips in mind. Be sure that the test question clearly states the answer you're seeking. For example, explain an election outcome is a poor question because you're not specifying which outcome or election you're talking about. If you're looking to test comprehension, a good opening line for a test question is always explain the following. And if you're seeking to test your ability to analyze a concept, a good opening phrase for that question is compare and contrast. Now, I'm trying to memorize things, and here I've got a different approach. I need to have a set of prompts and then fill in the answers. So, for example, I'm memorizing all the squares from 1 to 100. And to prompt myself to recall them, I just printed a piece of paper with the numbers 1 through 100 with a number per line, and I write the square down beside the number. But to do it the other way, to go from the square to the square root, I can't just list the number in order, because being in order, I could just count up or down to get the answer. So in order to test myself going from squares to square roots, I need the prompts to be in a more or less random order. So to do this, I put it all into Excel, and I create a random number column beside the answer, sort by the random number, and then print the prompts, which gives me all of the squares in a more or less random order, which I can apply for the square, which I can then write down the square root. So when you're trying to recall questions, you really should only need the prompt for memorization questions. Now that's it for this week. It's a very short episode, and hopefully I'll be able to get back to doing some longer format shows next week. If you have any comments or suggestions, please feel free to comment on the website, autodidactic.info, or on my YouTube channel. I try to respond as quickly as possible, but you can also email me at rick@autodidactic.info. I will put a link to the YouTube channel in the show's transcription and show notes on the website. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.